Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, good people? And welcome to a draft podcast solo edition with your boy Garrett Sisti here. And we covered guards. Jamie might have done tackles. Our schedule's been hectic, but here I am doing centers. And it's important now more than ever because yesterday the Chargers signed Bradley Bozeman, the ex-Panther center. So the Chargers signed him to a one-year deal, which means they have a stopgap veteran center at the middle of their line now to take over for the Will Clapp. Even hard to get that out of my mouth. Will Clapp, who is no longer with the team as of right now. So obviously right now, today, better than they were last season at center. So Corey Linsley retiring. Now you look towards the future. Linsley had some great years here. Now it's time to move forward and start to look at some of these centers because there's been a lot of talk about how good the center class has been. There's been rumors that three centers could go in the first round, which hasn't happened in a very long time. I don't know when, but I can't remember off the top of my head when that's happened. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over those big three, which are Jackson Power Johnson, Zach Frazier, Graham Barton. I'll talk about those three. And then for the Chargers, some centers, if now you're looking to kind of get a stopgap, a guy that could play some backup center this year, may need a year or two to develop before hitting the NFL football field, and some guys that I would target in the third, fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth round of this draft in terms of center, guys that could develop a little bit later. So we'll get into all that. And then I'm going to do something that I wanted to do because I feel like everybody wants comps. Like, hey, this player is equal to player X. I hate that. But what I did while watching these guys is I was watching JPJ, Jackson Power Johnson, and I started to just get some vibes. I was like, you know, when he plays, he kind of reminds me of, he's got a little of this player in him. And then I started watching Barton, and then I started to get the same vibe. And then by the time I got the Frazier, I was like, you know what? Let's see. What do I get? So this will be like, hey, these are the vibes I get from this player or that player. He kind of gives me this type of vibe. Not, hey, this is the career trajectory he's going to be like said player. It's, hey, man, there's some vibes here. There's some similarities in the way in which he plays like this guy. Not, he's going to have a copycat career just like this player. So I just want to get that out of the way first before we get into it. It's just a vibe thing, man. That's all that is. And that to me feels a lot better than this player is going to turn out like Randy Moss. And that's how his career is going to be, because for the rest of his career, everybody's going to be like, well, he's not as good as Randy Moss. That's unfair. Don't put that on him. So anyway, I'm not going to do that. All I'm going to say is, hey man, he's got Randy Moss vibes, though we're doing center. So it's obviously going to be based on offensive alignment, but you get what I'm saying. It's going to be vibes, man. That's all this podcast is, with me at least. All right, let's do this. First off, make sure you subscribe. Now I was I just threw that in there. Make sure you subscribe. Join the Patreon. Join the Discord. We've got that thing growing like crazy, and it's getting more fun by the minute. Even though I get bullied in there, I still do love it every single day. I know it's all in good fun, and nobody's being mean spirited, but it is a lot when you run the thing and everybody's got questions for you all the time. But for everybody else, go in there. We're having great conversations. There's a lot of back and forth. We keep it as civil as we possibly can. You know, everybody's going to have differing opinions. So it's, you know, we're not going to police anybody in there, but we are keeping it civil. We are having some pretty good discourse in there, in the Discord. So go join Patreon. You also get all of our news. We're creating brand new announcements every time we get them. There's been a lot leading up to the draft. There's probably going to be a lot more leading up to the draft as we get closer and closer, and more stuff probably for free agency. So go join that. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube. Like, subscribe, hit the bell, get the reminders, do all the things so that you know when we're coming out with the podcast. Because this was just kind of impromptu. I was a little late last week with the offensive line podcast because of scheduling issues. But here we are, and now we're doing centers. So the most popular guy that everybody's talking about is the man at the top of the draft. It's this man right here from Oregon, Jaxon Powers-Johnson. JPJ played some time on both sides of the ball. He even played some defensive tackle. But on the offensive side of the ball, played some guard, both guard spots, left and right guard, played some center. He was a unanimous All-American, Remington Award winner. He is a dog, snap to whistle, high-end athleticism at his spot. It's really easy to see as soon as he hits the football field how athletic he is. The play strength is his biggest weapon, which he builds off with that size. In the run game, JPJ is quick off the snap while looking to lead the parade when he gets out in space. You love to see him out front picking off linebackers and sometimes DBs the second and third level. In pass pro, anchors really well. While he can stand up a little bit too high at times, that wasn't all that often. So this is a pretty well-rounded interior lineman. I think if you're looking at some cons, I think, you know, a lot of people are talking about his medicals, that there could be some medical issues. There were some kind of rumors floating around Twitter today about how, I think it's Mel Kiper, if I'm not mistaken. But Mel Kiper hasn't had JPJ in any of his first-round mocks. And a lot of people are saying because they think it's the medicals and they think that he might fall to round two just because there's some uncertainty there. I don't know if that's kind of just smoke, but that's just kind of a rumor floating around. And like I said, he's a pretty well-rounded prospect. So to find some faults are pretty hard at this point. But if that's the case, which we see it every year with guys falling way lasting a lot longer than they should have in the draft because of medical issues. And I don't know if this is that case, but it definitely has happened in the past. And then the other thing is he's only got 13 starts as a center. So he's not really a seasoned starter. He's, you know, you could also look at that as he's got some room to grow at the position, but he's pretty fresh at the center position. He has played in the interior. He has played both guard spots, like I mentioned earlier. But when you really look at, you know, some of these other guys who are kind of these stalwarts that have been there for years, these more seasoned veterans at the center position, JPJ is not that. And when you look at how good he did in those 13 starts, you could say it's a small sample size. To me, it looks like the potential is through the roof with this kid. He is very good as a center and kind of your captain of an offense. So Let's talk about vibes. When I was watching JPJ, and this is what sparked this whole vibes thing, which I might do if I do these solo podcasts for any more of these draft shows. But let me pull you up a guy that kind of gave me some vibes on JPJ, and that is Ryan Jensen. Remember him? He's still in the league. Ryan Jensen, both big, nasty bulldogs. Jensen was considered a top five player while he was in the NFL. They always thought he was a top five center at his peak for like five consecutive years too. He was always towards the top of the center group. He was a Pro Bowler later in his career, you know, and then when you kind of think about where he started at, let's just draw some comparisons here just as kind of connected some dots. So, you know, they both got that mean streak. They both kind of got the same type of body type. And then you think about some Pro Bowl potential if he peaks right, kind of like Ryan Jensen did. It took him a little bit. He was drafted a lot later than JPJ will be. But the person that drafted this man, Ryan Jensen, while he's in a Buccaneers uniform in this picture, he was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens. Out of Colorado State Pueblo, if I'm not mistaken. And that was by the man Joe Ortiz and the Ravens. He started out as a Raven, went to the Buccaneers, ascended, and now still floating around the league, but a very, very good center in his time and a guy that I think could be we're not talking career trajectory, but Jensen was always just a nasty dude, always. Always. And JPJ has that streak in him. I got some Ryan Jensen vibes in his game. For sure.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, next up. Graham Barton. So Barton, his best traits for me are his hands. They are like vice grips, if he can get your hands on you. He is very good with his grip strength. In the run game, he is a technician. He's got excellent body control. In pass pro, Barton has really good footwork, but his anchor causes him issues, especially against power rushers. He was a tackle at Duke. So you can see in this picture, he's obviously on the outside there. But with his size, he's one of those guys that are going to have to play inside. He does have some starting experience at center. Albeit it's only five games in his college career. But there is so much to like about this kid. I know there's probably going to be a lot of, you know, Jamari Salyer type parallels for a lot of people when watching a guy like Barton, who's pretty good on the edge, but with some size and length concerns, you probably want to kick him inside, which I think he will do. And already having center experience, you could definitely see him as a center in the NFL. So, vibes. For me, if I can pull up a photo of him, it's this man here. You know who this is? It's Max Unger. He gives me Max Unger vibes. Started with the Saints, played with the Seahawks. Unger was a guy who was a former tackle in college, played some center. They both, Unger and Barton, had to kick inside. Both had really, really good hands. Same body type. Barton is a much better athlete than Unger ever was. So that's definitely in Barton's favor. But they were both technicians. Quietly get your job done. Great footwork. Great hands. Same type of body type. So you're looking at a more athletic type Max Unger in a Graham Barton, if you ask me. That's just the vibes I get. Just blue collar, get your work done type of players, quietly manning the middle of the year line, not having to worry about fixing the center position for as long as he's there, you know? So this is While, you know, JPJ feels like the sexy pick for a lot of people in this center class, Graham Barton, very good, but will get the job done. Our last three of the big three is Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. I mentioned blue collar with Graham Barton. This is the definition of a blue collar worker in Zach Frazier. Not just because he's a West Virginia kid, but this, while watching him play, this is the old school mindset. He wants to be the meanest guy on the field. He wants to outwork you if you're across from you. If you're lined up with Zach Frazier, all he's going to do is try to outwork you. So he's played all three spots in the interior, left guard, right guard, center. He was a wrestler. So that kind of shows up when he locks up with guys. You can see him kind of twerk guys and twist guys and get them to the ground. And this is another guy who plays up to and through the whistle. He's very aggressive. His play style is very aggressive. It helps when he's in space. It can hurt him a little bit in pass pro because he'll lunge, because he immediately is like a dog after me. Immediately he wants to go after it and get it. And sometimes he'll lunge a little bit too fast and get after it a little bit, get a little too antsy, as they say, in pass pro. But he's got the kind of perfect squatty body to be an interior lineman in the NFL. Though the length gives him some issues against longer interior pass rushers. Day one, this is the captain of your offense. He's got the smarts for it, and he's going to outwork you. So for me, the vibes when I got here, if I can get this picture going, boy, it's not going to come up for me, but visuals are very important and you guys know that. So let me get a visual for you because it's what we need. We don't just go by talk here. Let me pull this up. And you can listen to me ramble and try to, while I'm trying to try to get this up, but I swear I'm going to get it. And why the picture is black, I have no idea. Cool. So you know who that is? You probably don't because you can't see it. It's Mitch Morse. So I swear. Mitch, what are you doing to me? Open up. Why are you like that? Mitch, what are you doing? Okay, so here's what Garrett does on a whim, okay? You know who it is, but maybe you don't remember who Mitch Morris is, and I want to give you a little visual here. I swear if you could just open up for me, I'd be very happy. All right. So, still, we're getting there. We're getting there, guys. Come on. This man. Remember this man? Look at this man. Mitch Morris. You know this dude? Was that the Bills with the Chiefs? Cool. Was that worth it? No, it absolutely was not. But this man right here, Zach Frazier, gives me Mitch Morris vibes. No, tough nose, blue-collar players. They both had arm length issues coming out of college. Morris has not been a Pro Bowler, but he's been way above average, if not steady, good, all of his career. Quietly, every single down gets his job done, play to play. Makes your O-line a whole hell of a lot better. Just kind of your quiet, humble, outwork you, blue-collar type player. Zach Frazier, Mitch Morris, those are the kind of vibes I'm getting with Zach Frazier. So, God, I wish I wouldn't have wasted like a minute on that. It wasn't worth it, but Mitch Morris, Zach Frazier type vibe. So if you're ranking these three, it's in the order that I read it. It goes JPJ as your top center. I'm going to ignore the medicals for now because I don't know if there's any truth to that. If there are, I think it's a little bit concerning. But then at number two, you've got Graham Barton. And then at number three, you've got Zach Frazier. But with that said, Barton and Frazier is kind of what's your flavor. And to me, grading wise, they're separated by a single point. So if you told me that you like Zach Frazier better than Graham Barton, I could see where you're coming from. But for me, it's JPJ number one, it's Graham Barton number two, it's Zach Frazier number three. So those are my top three. And if, say, JPJ is injured, and the medicals are what the rumors, according to a couple people on Twitter, are, and or from Mel Kiper, if that's who it was. I think it was, and forgive me if it wasn't. But if the medicals are an issue and teams don't want to take that chance on him in the first round, I know the next question coming, if I had the chat open here, would you draft JPJ with the second round pick for the Chargers? The answer is an emphatic yes. This is a starting caliber best center in this class. This is a man that could come in and start day one as long as the medicals are okay again. But if they're an issue and it's just something that he's going to, you know, it's going to be harder for him to start his career, like the medical, like say the injuries he's coming off of are going to take a little bit longer for him to start in the NFL, I'm okay with that because they just signed Bradley Bozeman. It is tough to draft JPJ and not have him on your football field right away. You'd want your high second round pick, because they're in the top five in the second round, a high second round pick, which is practically a first rounder at that point, to start on your football team day one, week one. JPJ would compete with Bozeman. And if JPJ won, then you're sitting pretty. And you got Bozeman as your backup? That's some hell of a depth. So the answer is going to be, yeah, man. Draft JPJ at the top of two if he falls there. Now, if they trade down and they get those 11 and 23 from Minnesota, I think that's what it was, 11 and 23 from Minnesota, and JPJ is there in the 20s. I saw a back-to-back draft, a back-to-back picks, if they made that trade, of Brock Bowers and Jackson Powers-Johnson with a Bowers and Powers combo. Give me that. Hey, give me that. I would take that for the cute rhyme scheme, but also because that's two hell of a players there. So I would even take it there. But if you're talking about medicals at the top of two, give me JPJ. I would absolutely take him every day of the week. All right. So now Chargers hypothetical out the window. Chargers draft the number five. They stick and pick. They obviously take either Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers at number five. And then now, because you have Bradley Bozeman, you can wait a year or two on a center. This is the class to do it, because there are some developmental guys that have some things. So these three guys between JPJ, Barton, and Frazier are most likely going in the first round. And if they're not going in the first round, I don't believe they'll be there at the top of two for the Chargers, i.e. they're going to go in the top four picks. These guys are too talented to not fall to the Chargers. Now, if they did, great, but I think at that point, you're probably going to have to start thinking about kicking that can a little bit further down the road in terms of center, and then wait on some guys. So top of two, so you got your wide receiver. Say you get your corner in round two, then you start to think in round three, now we can start looking at centers. So for each round, here's the centers I like after the first two rounds. Because really, what it comes down to is those top three are gone. The next guy, in my mind, which is Cedric Van Pran, cannot go at the top of two. That's way too rich for this kid. If you're talking three, let's have that discussion. Top of two, too rich. So in a perfect world, you're sitting, you got your wide receiver, you got your cornerback at this point. Then you start looking at Cedric Van Pran in round three. He's one of the more natural centers in this class. He has 44 starts in the SEC at Georgia, former track athlete. He did discus, javelin, shot put. Did you think when I said track athlete that he was running the triathlon? What's his 40 time? No, he did discus, he did javelin, he did shot put. He wasn't doing hurdles. Trust me. He was doing the big boy sports. So former track athlete, really good size and length, physical at the point of attack, really good at the second level too as a puller, great run blocker with some athletic traits. Now, Cedric Van Pran is 22. So a pretty old rookie when he comes into the league, but throughout his career, notched only one sack allowed and only one QB hit allowed in his career. So this is a very low floor or high floor, low ceiling type pick. He will automatically compete as a starter in camp. And then, you know, if the Chargers were to take him, you let him develop behind Bozeman for a year, and then you kick him out in 2025, let him be the center of the future. This is a kid that can obviously compete for any interior spot, but going against some of the best players in college football and not giving up a lot, this is a guy that's not getting a lot of run because he doesn't have the sexy traits. He doesn't run a good 40. He's not athletic. He's not super powerful, but he's just quietly been a steady force in the middle of that Georgia offensive line. And, you know, he's not going to be a Pro Bowler, but he's going to be a steady force in the middle. So again, this is a high floor, low ceiling type pick and a guy that could be a center in the future. So then when you get into day three, the guy I like in four is Bo Limmer. He's an interior lineman who is undersized, but he makes up for all that with his athleticism. You can tell, I mean, even in this photo, he's kind of a lean body, more athletic type interior lineman. Started at guard, eventually landed at center at Arkansas. The kid has really good hip flexibility. Probably my favorite hip flexibility in this class. It really helps him launch off the line of scrimmage. He turns to defenders at the line and in space. He is more of a finesse blocker. He will get overwhelmed by some of the power rushers because he doesn't really have that sand in his pants in the interior going against some of those bigger boys in the middle. And I think he's probably best fit in, you know, more of a zone heavy scheme. I'm not sure he's a good fit in power. So I don't know that this is the perfect fit for the Chargers, but I think the best available player, if you can get him to bulk up a little bit more, pack on a little bit more muscle. I know you're going to lose some of that athleticism, but I do think the problems against power rushers could be an issue in the NFL. And I do think getting to the second level, he'll have enough athleticism while putting on muscle that it won't take too much away from his game. So this is a kid I'm looking at the top of four. This is about the range I would look at a Bo Limmer from Arkansas. If you're then moving on to the fifth, I've got Tanner Bordolini. And again, if I mispronounce any of these names, I don't care. Tanner Bordolini, the Wisconsin center. He's a smart physical lineman. He's got experience all across the offensive line. He is best working in tight spaces, winning with just pure brute strength. Has had his issues with more athletic offensive linemen. He's just kind of a C guy, hit guy. Just give him the guy right in front of him, make him go after one man, and you've got yourself a pretty good football player. His hands are good, anchors well. I think his anchor is a winner. It's going to help him a lot in the NFL. Hasn't played a lot of center, has some snapping issues that he's going to have to work through, but this could be a starter down the road, if not a very good interior, you know, depth piece for a guy like Bordolini. But has some upside to be a starter down the road. I think he's a physical, smart kid that could really help a football team, especially if you need some depth there. So that's in the fifth. And then if you're looking in the later rounds, sixth and seventh, this to me, I mean, it makes too much sense. Drake Nugent, the Michigan center. And I know everybody's mocking Michigan players to Harbaugh's team, and they think we're probably going to end up with, or the Chargers going to end up with like two or three different Michigan players. These dots all line up. I mean, Limmer and Bordolini might not be the best fits in terms of that kind of smash mouth football archetype, but Drake Nugent absolutely does. Stocky, lacks a little bit of length, but he's strong, has limited athleticism. So it's like you've got a big stocky player who's not very long. He's very strong, but not a great athlete. But what he does have is a whole hell of a lot of power. So this is a lineman that you will need a few years to kind of develop before he hits the football field. And when the Chargers just signed Bozeman, this came right to mind. And if you're possibly moving a guy like Zion Johnson or Jordan McFadden or Jamari Salyer to center. If you're going to try those interior guys you already have out at center, this could be the depth piece to compete. This is a guy that you'd love to put in the middle and compete with a bunch of other guys for center. And then eventually down the road, maybe your center of the future. But if you're looking for a type in that Greg Roman, Harbaugh type mold, it's Drake Nugent. And of course, he went to Michigan. So it all lines up. It all lines up. So those are my guys. So if you're looking in the first round and you're trading down, I love JPJ. Barton is my center two. Frazier, my center three. I wouldn't mind that pick. These Barton or Frazier, if you're looking at 23 and JPJ is already taken, I could definitely go for either one of those two. If you're at the top of three and you're needing a center and you already got your other needs taken care of in rounds one and two, I'd look at Cedric Van Pran. If you're looking at day three, some guys I like, Bo Limmer, Taylor Bortolini. And then if you really want to fit the mold and you just want to run downhill, hit guys in the mouth, take a guy like Drake Nugent. He's like a caveman. You know, he's not gonna wow you with anything else other than beating the crap out of the guy next to you. So I know a lot of people like that, and I'm sure guys like Greg Roman. All right. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you guys coming. Thanks for nothing, Mitch Morris. You are now my arch nemesis. The person, not the photo that didn't come up. I worked hard on these images. I prepared them before this podcast, and Mitch Morris, you let me down. That's not my fault. That's you, Mitch Morris, the person, not the picture. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. That's my podcast for the centers. We're going to be covering, what are we covering? Tight ends and running backs this weekend. So look for that draft podcast coming up. If you haven't watched, on Sunday, Craig and Jamie did interior defensive line. So go watch that one, too. So we're just spitting these podcasts out. We got lots of content coming. Make sure you subscribe. Join the Patreon. Join the Discord. Do everything else, but other than that, most importantly, go have a good day, all right? Appreciate you. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.